This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
There's been a lot of talk this last week or so about Jason Ackermanis, and everything that he said about homophobia in the AFL. Now, everybody has weighed in on this particular issue, and I don't want to do it to death any further, but joining me on the line now, as always at this time, is Daniel Whithouse on his Challenging Homophobia tour, and he posted something on his blog that I thought was worth exploring, where he talks about challenging homophobia, in relation to Jason Ackermanis' words, as distinct from anti-homophobia. Good morning, Daniel.
Good morning, Doug.
Now, I thought that was a very interesting point you made, that you thought a lot of the reaction to ACCA was more attacking homophobia or anti-homophobia rather than challenging homophobia. What's the difference?
Yeah, look, I think the main difference is that I think I said that all the responses that I'd read towards Jason Ackermanis, it was kind of like a blood sport, and he obviously opened his mouth as he often does, and a lot of people seem to be attacking him, and what I talked about in my blog was the fact that, you know, in my work with young men in particular with challenging behaviours, when they're attacked or they're disciplined for, you know, what they feel is speaking their minds, they tend to kind of dig in their heels rather than change their attitudes or get to a better place. And what I was writing about was that, you know, I'm very keen on this challenging homophobia approach, which means that it's about acknowledging that, you know, people might be homophobic, but rather than attacking them, it's about engaging them and trying to kind of set up some dialogue where they move. And I was saying that, you know, I'd really love to sit down and have a couple with Jason Ackermanis and find out where he was coming from, because I think that there's room for movement, given that on my tour so far in regional and rural Australia, I've spoken with people, you know, a lot worse than Jason Ackermanis, if it can be believed, and I've seen them move within, you know, over the course of the cuppa.
Yeah, the thing that interested me about that was I do believe a lot of people sat down and talked with ACCA before he wrote the piece. He talked with the AFLPA, he talked with Greg Adkins from the Anti-Violence Project, and various other people who were kind of like advising him. Obviously, they didn't see the final draft before it went to print, because they all were in a state of shock afterwards.
Yes, of course.
So I wonder how far, in fact, this is a question of moving someone like Ackermanis, and how far it's, you know, he's under pressure, in a sense, to produce something that's sensational, because he's building a media career for himself.
Really? He's building a media career? Okay.
He's already earning more money from media appearances and his work on MTR and his column for the Herald Sun and various other things he's doing than he is playing football, and he finishes playing football this year.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure about the conversation that Jason's had before, but I think the point that I was making without knowing, too much is that, as I said, the kinds of views and attitudes that he was putting forward have resonated with a lot of people that I've spoken to in WA and Northern Territory, at least. Now, obviously,
and what you're afraid of is entrenching those attitudes by putting yourself up in opposition to them. They kind of like retreat behind the walls and stick to their position.
And this is not about saying, okay, well, your attitudes and behaviours and comments, it's not about saying that they're okay. It's about trying to find out where they're coming from, because, you know, as I said, if we're calling for Jason Ackermanis to be sacked, then pretty much every school chaplain in the country that I've spoken to needs to be sacked right now, and about 50 to 60% of all the teachers. So in terms of my work, it's about trying to move them to a different place where they realise that some of that stuff can be harmful, and that there's some better things that they can be doing in their practice. And because I've seen them move from worse than Jason Ackermanis to better,
Yeah.
And for people to say we're going to be doing things differently and actually seeing that in practice a couple of weeks later when they're emailing me and saying, this stuff's working, this is what we're doing now, I just think that there are benefits to actually, you know, engaging. And I think what happens when we look at, you know, when I was first kind of, Kenton Miller, who's been doing this work for well over a decade, you know, said to me that if you sort of set up the anti-homophobia approach, it's like we're anti anyone who's homophobic. And what that does is it can make it to be, you know, the homophobic person is the monster or the other, rather than all of us acknowledging that there's a bit of, you know, we grow up in a homophobic society and every one of us is, you know, homophobic in some way. And it's about trying to improve people and get them further down the track than actually trying to, I guess, punish them and kind of get them to you know, dig in their heels and go off to their mates and say, see, like, they're all being politically correct and you can't say anything these days. And it's something I see in violence against women work and equal opportunity work that I've been doing over the last few years as well.
Yeah, you said what it does, in fact, is stop them really speaking their minds in a lot of cases, and if they don't speak their minds, we can't engage with it, with their attitudes. Is that's the point you're making, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one of the things that, you know, I went to a school in Darwin and then a school in Katherine on my way down to Alice Springs here, and what the teachers were saying is they kind of creep into the room to see me and they're scared to say things, and they're saying, look, we don't know what's politically correct around this. We don't want to make things worse. We don't want to ask questions because we might say something that's wrong, and they don't want to be labelled as homophobic. And one of the things I try and do is relax them immediately and say, look, you know, let's have a chat about it. You know, what are you finding? What are your issues? What are the kind of things that you're coming up against in your classrooms? And eventually try and you know, take a constructive approach and do that kind of old thing of the crap sandwich where you do a few positives and a couple of kind of, you know, gentle challenges. And that tends to work because people relax and say, oh, well, it's good. I can ask these questions that I thought were silly or they, you know, something that I thought might be politically incorrect, I've said it. And then you can move them to a different place. And that's pretty much, you know, has been my approach one cuppa at a time around this country.
Well, how was Darwin in the end? I mean, you seem to have almost fallen in love with the place from what I'm reading on your blog.
Look, in terms of, I mean, one of the things that I find is people expect me to be doing lots of sightseeing or to be really focusing on the place when I go to lots of these, you know, these locales. And pretty much what I'm responding to most is the people and the relationship that they have with their place. So if I'm kind of falling in love with Darwin, it's all of these amazing people that I met and the stories that I heard and the way that I just had, you know, I had this incredible hospitality where people have gone out of their way, and that's continuing at the moment in Alice Springs. And I think pretty much that's what you see me responding to, because I'm a third of the way down in my 38-week national tour, and I must admit that, you know, blowing into place week after week, you know, sometimes, you know, just having, you know, someone who'll make a cuppa for you saying, sit over there, there's a desk space, you know, can I help you with this and that, and having a nice kind of, you know, welcoming kind of host kind of situation can just make the world of difference in kind of a sea of red dust and heat and, you know, homophobia as it was.
I was intrigued. But you actually got invited to more schools than you could find time to go to, which I think was indicative of the sort of the hunger for this, for what you're doing. In particular, in one remote place in an Indigenous community.
Yeah, so up in Arnhem Land, there were some people who responded really positively to the fact that I was coming to do a seminar, and I also did a book reading in Darwin as well. And people were saying, you know, is this a travelling roadshow? Because we want you to come out and, you know, hang out with us at the school. And this was kind of like you'd have to jump on a dirt track with a four-wheel drive, and you'd have to drive for about a day and a half to 2 days just to reach there. And then on the way back, and if you flew, because it's kind of not a typical route, it's actually quite expensive to get there. And unfortunately, I didn't have the time or that significant amount of money to be able to make that. But it just goes to show that, you know, like in these kinds of places, that people are thinking that this is, like, people do see this as an issue and do want to do something about it. And you know, invariably it's around this kind of language and behaviour that the teachers kind of scratch their heads and go, you know, there's something about this that isn't right.
Yeah, it's sort of like, where do we start? And that's what you give them, basically. You give them a way in.
Yeah, just to get them, and you know, just saying, you know, what are the things that you would want? What's on your wish list? And then just tell me about some scenarios and kind of debrief them on those scenarios and talk them through. And what, I mean, whilst you know, what I do is relatively straightforward, there's kind of an excitement and a frustration. And there's an excitement that there's only a minimal amount of time and investment from me. And it leads to, you know, quite a shift for these teachers in terms of what they're going to be doing. But there's also a frustration because often this is the first time or one of the first times that professionally they've had a conversation about this. And that, to me, in this, you know, in, you're talking about, you know, careers that are, you know, 10, 20 years, and people haven't had a single conversation about this, and that's what alarms me, and that's why it makes my job easier, because, you know, it's only a minimal investment on my behalf.
Yeah, that was what the next thing I was going to ask you, because as you say, you know, you blow in and then you blow out again.
Yes.
How do you know that this is going to be followed through on, whether, you know, whether the excitement will pass?
Well, I'll give you a perfect example. I was talking with a woman who came up, and she'd read my book before I even arrived in Darwin, and she just sat me down and said, "I want to thank you so much. My son goes to a Christian school, and they've found out that he has two mothers, and they've been, you know, really giving him a hard time." She said she sat down and she read my book in a day, and then she took that book to what she said was a right-wing kind of welfare coordinator at that particular school, and he said, "Well, I'm sorry, you can't do this. This is a Christian school." And she slammed the book down on his desk and said, "Well, this guy's done, you know, this in Catholic schools in regional Australia. You know, you can do it in Darwin." And so he took that book away. And he decided that he, you know, he came back and he said, "I can actually use this, and this is stuff that we're going to be doing in our school now." So that's stuff around challenging and interrupting homophobic language and behaviours. So those kinds of examples are, you know, like there's those examples of where you've got kind of schools doing something. But what I try and do in every place is I have partner organisations in each state and territory. And for me, it's not about me going, "Well, you need to rely on my resource or coming back to me and, you know, me being the fountain of knowledge." It's more about getting them to link up with these partner organisations and in all the places that I go, so that they've got somewhere to go and they can build a relationship for when I'm gone, because, you know, really I can't continue that relationship with kind of 38 locations across the country.
No, indeed you can't.
I'd love to, but I can't.
No, no, there's only one of you.
Yes.
And not enough to go around. Well, thank you very much, Daniel. I mean, it's interesting that this Ackermanus thing, just to briefly go back to that, has actually sparked off a lot of conversations, which I suppose is a good thing at the end of the day.
Yes, we don't want him kind of mouthing off and making people feel not okay and unsafe and all the rest of it, but he is a conversation starter in all the places that I've been, and I think we could use that for good.
Yes, yes. Well, I saw your Facebook post about the hugely high-profile AFL footballer you heard about in Catherine High School.
It gobsmacked me that this was actually something that was revealed, and it won't pass my lips.
No, of course not. It doesn't pass any of our lips.
Yes.
Daniel, we'll speak to you again next week when you've had time to absorb the Alice. And in the meantime, keep up the good work.
Done. Thank you so much, Doug. See you next week. Bye.
You're welcome. Bye. That was Daniel Whithouse there. Left Darwin, currently in the Alice, and we'll pick up with him again next week.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.